Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
For the fans, this is not something that's a long-term issue, and that's why we listed him as week to week. And like I said, we're hopeful he'll play this weekend, but we're not going to miss one step, you know, as it goes through it.
I'm going to believe his mother more than Dan Quinn. Are you kidding me? His mother said he's fine. And he was out there waving a towel the second half. That doesn't look like a guy that's got broken ribs and is all taped up.
Wani talking with Mully and Haw this morning about whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to find his way onto the field on Sunday to give us the matchup that everyone's been looking forward to, the two top rookie quarterbacks going after it.
I haven't turned the page yet, so I'm not sure. As we know, I've not turned the page yet. What I've done is I hit the button at the bottom of the Kindle that made the top half of the next page show up, but I still have the bottom half of the page that I'm currently on. So it's kind of a split, you know?
So you're still going with this bit. Okay. All right.
Am I alone? It's possible.
I also think that it's weird that you then came in here yesterday and announced, we are not turning the page.
I know, yesterday I did. And then this morning I wanted to. I really wanted to. So really what's happening is I'm
Maddie Waffles
I'm dying
over here.
I'm so bored of this page.
But listen, man.
I'm so bored of the page.
Have you ever had that thing that happens when you read a page and you're like, I don't think I got it.
Yeah.
And then you read it again and you're like, I don't think I got it.
Well, right. You guys just don't think I got it because I'm picking the Bears to sweep the Packers.
No, dude. We just have a dedicated reading time. And we dedicated that Wednesdays.
Yeah. Very important.
We read on Wednesdays.
That's true.
You pick the Bears to sweep the Packers, and I just don't think you read books at all.
I do. I read books all the time.
Or watch the games, apparently.
But I read them fast. No, I read books while I watch the games. Is that a problem?
Yeah, that's where you're doing wrong. Yeah, you should look up at the Packers and see why they're better.
It's good to have a dedicated reading time. It's very good. In fact, just last night, Ruben said, Dad, I already read for like an hour. Can I just not read at my reading time and instead play video games? It's a good question.
And what was your answer?
I went with yes, but then Steen said no, and so I went with no. You know?
Smart. Smart. Did you see him reading for the hour?
I did. There was visual proof of the reading that had already gone on.
It was a book about Roblox.
Bone dry.
So in that case, do you just wish he would have said to you earlier, hey, I'm going to read earlier so I can play video games later?
No, because the real thing is like, you don't want to be looking, you don't want the kid to be looking at the video screen and the games right before bed. That light is not good for his brain development and for his eyes and stuff. So
it's not good for any of us.
It's not good for any of us.
If we can go an hour without our phones before we go to bed,
we're all better off.
We will sleep better.
Correct. So,
but we can't. It's usually the last thing we look at before we close our eyes.
I have a reading light in the bedroom and I try to like use the reading light and actually do some reading to like slow myself down. It's just hard, man. Screens are fun.
It was crazy. Like, I had this weird thing happen with my eyesight where when I was in grad school, my eyesight got better from year to year because I was actually reading books.
That's crazy.
My girlfriend calls me out of the blue light thing watching TikToks every night before I go to bed. So are you saying I should actually try it instead of just telling her I don't want to?
And that, not only is she right about that, she's also like, the ridiculous damage to your attention span that the TikToks are doing.
Wait, I mean, what'd you say?
Exactly.
Who are you?
Exactly. And it's going to get to the point, Shane, that you're going to get exasperated over my turning the page bit. It's going to get to that point. And that's when we know we've got a problem, mister. So anyway.
Should we update the reference?
What, on Turn the Page?
Yeah, I mean.
I think people know.
No, I'm saying, but should we call it swipe instead of turning the page? Should we swipe?
But then we lose the sound of Ryan Poles turning a page. Yeah. We need to get the sound of him swiping.
Does Metallica
something.
Have a song about swiping?
We don't have time to redo all the production. We can't have it. Taddy's too.
To scroll again.
Yeah. I'm sure that Tommy, what's his name guy has this.
On my Kindle.
I'm sure he's got a song about swiping or something. Tommy Richmond or something. He's got a song about it. We can do that.
Oh,
wait, before
man.
We turn the page on this segment, a couple of culinary shout outs. One, last night I left here and I was like, I really want pizza. And I left and I was like, you know what? I'm going old school. I went to Pat's in Lincoln Park with a crispy cracker thin crust. It is my favorite thin crust in the city.
On Western near Addison?
No, on Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Right off of Lincoln and Wrightwood, like around there.
Okay.
Shout out to Mark, big listener of the show.
Outstanding.
And I was like, hi, I'm Lawrence. And he's I'm like, yes.
I should get their address right. Where is it again?
2679 North Lincoln.
Okay.
I think that's right. But he was like, I love the show and wanted me to say hello to you.
Okay.
Secondly.
Pat's Pizza and Ristorante. Damn it. I've
loved it since college and it's still amazing. Secondly.
I'm thinking of Pete's. My bad.
Pizza's also really good. Mm-hmm. But I was at Pat's.
Got it.
Shane made us bread. And I know that sounds really simple. It was not, my friends. This was excellent focaccia bread. It was amazing.
He put the I in there too.
Did I?
I do that too.
Focaccia.
Yeah, you pronounce it how you want. I appreciate the compliment.
He can pronounce it how he wants, focaccia. But I can't pronounce it how I want.
Shane's just trying to make me feel better because I'm the new member of the team.
Right.
That's all he's doing.
Give it 6 months and I would say, focaccia, moron.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that yet.
He's not doing yet. That.
Giving you time to get comfortable.
6 months is generous, by the way.
But the that was
unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we tasted it. There was like the garlic confit that was happening. He used the oil from the garlic confit. There was rosemary. There was sage. That's what that I couldn't.
Page.
I could not figure out what the missing ingredient was. You suggested that it might have been love.
Yes, there was definitely some love.
There was.
And some sea salt.
Yes, but there was also some sage.
And butter.
No butter.
No butter?
Just zero oil. Butter in that bread.
Are you serious?
That's focaccia. Focaccia doesn't have butter, right? Correct.
Dude, yeah. That is amazing bread. I look, as someone who a lot of people who have like Crohn's or IBS, carbs is what we live off of. That is a perfect Crohn's like meal right there. What you offer today, like so. I want you to know that I appreciate it on multiple levels.
I'll bring you a couple. You could freeze them for your carb portion.
I'm down.
My bad.
For your future Crohn's meals.
That's what I was going for. I didn't know that was going to be.
It's good.
No, that's fine.
Are there Crohn-specific food trucks? Because maybe Shane should open one.
Or, well, we probably just have bread and applesauce and bananas and rice.
A lot of peanuts.
Yeah. Is there a Crohn's cookbook?
Is there a Crohn's cookbook?
There probably is, there but it's
not. Patent pending. I'm working on it right now.
Let's cook up this Crohn's.
No, yeah, it's Pat's Pizza, not patent
not
pending.
Yeah, it's Pat's Pizza.
That's on Western.
But it's really good.
Incredible.
Do you think that, I don't mean to put labor on you, and we have not discussed this, but do you think you could bring some for Thursday?
Oh, my God.
I will.
No.
I'm already planning.
I don't mean for us. I mean for the people that are going to.
Just for like dozens and dozens of more people.
Yeah. For the people that are going to be in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance studio when we do our show there.
I'll bring a couple of those. We'll cut them up small.
Oh, man. That's exciting.
Isn't it?
That is exciting. That's going to be great, by the way. Thursday is going to be the first time that this show is in front of a live audience, the Spiegel and Holmes show, and that'll be at the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. Be listening today and tomorrow.
Nope, not tomorrow. Today's the last day.
Be listening today to win tickets to come see us and hang out
okay.
on Tuesday.
You, sir, have scoopage.
So, look, I was talking to a league source within the NFL, that's the league that I'm talking about, okay? Who knows Dan Quinn really, really well. And I really like Dan Quinn as a head coaching candidate. Some may remember I was advocating for him when Eberflus got picked. And I had
a whole bunch of folders.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. And I'm really a fan of Dan Quinn. And then I learned a lot more about Dan Quinn in some conversations with the league source. Basically, Dan Quinn is being credited with flipping the culture there in Washington in like these 6 months. The comp that I was given as a personality type and a leader type for Dan Quinn, you ready? Is Dan Campbell. That's the comp that I was given.
That's a pretty excellent comp these days.
A communicator, a leader who misses nothing. Super smart, but emotionally smart. Which dovetails with what Colton Pouncey from The Athletic told us yesterday, emotional intelligence. I was told emotionally smart, intuitive. He's just a guy, straight talk, no coach speak, no buzzwords, legit great heart-to-heart communicator is the way it was described to me. And that's the job. He effectively makes guys willing to check their ego. He does that. He lets the coordinators coordinate, but he, as the leader, makes sure the message is across for everyone to check your damn ego at the door. And because he's been this kind of heart-to-heart communicator and it's been obvious what he is, he's got great friends in the coaching ranks and has for decades. So when it comes time to put a staff together, you got a bunch of people saying, yep, I will come work for you. I will come do this for you. So Dan Quinn getting a lot of love for what he has done in these 6 months in Washington, and the comp as a personality given was Dan Campbell.
I wonder if there are some people who are in Dallas right now wondering if the wrong coach left. I know that when it came to the defensive players there, how they felt about him, how people felt about him when he was in Atlanta as well. And sometimes it takes a while, and that's what you're hoping is happening with Eberflus, that now he's like, he's in his bag now, like he's starting to understand what the responsibilities are, what the pitfalls are of being a head coach instead of just being a defensive coordinator, and that he's getting ready to take off. It helps when you've got, hopefully, you've got the quarterback thing kind of settled too.
Yeah, but this whole time that I'm reading this description to you and sharing it, because it was happening to me as I was hearing it.
You were getting jealous.
Thinking about Eberflus.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I don't think Eberflus is a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad coach. But he's not that. I don't believe that he is that as described in terms of, I mean.
I will push back on it a little bit.
Okay.
And here's why. Dan and I used to talk with Jaquan Brisker every week.
Dan Bernstein.
Yes, he does middays here with Marshall Harris and with Layla Rahimi on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
A lot of Dans in this conversation. Just needed to clarify.
Yes. So we would have Jaquan Brisker on, and it was interesting the way that Kwani B would talk about his meetings every week with Eberflus, that he felt like he could go to his office and talk to him like whenever.
Yeah.
And the fact that he could say stuff to him as someone on the field and come back to him and be like, hey, I know that we were supposed to be in this. I think we should probably do this. And here's why. And Eberflus was open to that. Those players where I,
They do have that buy-in. And look, I've been enthusiastic at times. I've been the guy who's enthusiastic because I do see the buy-in that you're talking about. Jalen has given us glimpses of it. And some other players have given us glimpses. But you're talking about direct stuff from Kwan.
And from Eberflus.
Yeah.
I've been dying because, you know, it'd been we hadn't really gotten Matt Eberflus on the score. So when Dan and Layla and I got him last month, was that that long ago? In August, when we got Eberflus on, I have been dying to ask him about the play calling aspect of his Bears career. Because to me, that's where things changed.
Mm-hmm.
It changed when he actually, instead of looking at it as being the CEO head coach of the Bears, he was closer.
Got reconnected to it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And I asked him like about that, and he said, yeah, you know, I think that there is something to the idea of being the play caller and being closer to this thing. So I know that like when you hear all this about like Dan Quinn, it makes you kind of reflexively look at Eberflus and go, well, he's not that. I want to give him his credit that he might be more than that than you're saying.
All right. I think that that is probably true. And I appreciate the rejiggering of the perspective. It does come at a time when we're talking about all the head coaches in this division, and it's clear that, I think it's clear that Dan Campbell is a really damn good one. I think it's really clear that Matt LaFleur is a really damn good one. And I think it seems like Kevin O'Connell is a really damn good one. Now, are they, in terms, because I agree with this league source's assessment of what makes a good head coach in terms of that kind of communicator, heart-to-heart communicator, the ability to get people to check their egos at the door, is, you know, and no buzzwords and stuff. That obviously rings the bell on the hits principle and stuff like that. I can't argue for Eberflus as anything but fourth in the division, but that doesn't mean he's...
That's okay.
That doesn't mean he's 30th in the league.
Correct.
It means we can comfortably say it's a really good moment for the division. And yeah, I think our guy's probably fourth, but he might not be 15th. You know what I mean? He might not be 17th.
And when you start looking at the other coaches, too,
yeah,
one of the things where if you wanted to make an argument against Matt Eberflus is the hiring. Like, if you were, like, let's say that you were stuck, right, between yeah. Eberflus and O'Connell, because the other two guys are clearly, like, ahead of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, in terms which coordinators they've hired.
Exactly.
Dude, Ben Johnson is the best offensive coordinator in the NFL.
And you look at,
that's a Dan Campbell hire.
And you look at O'Connell and you go, okay, I'm really strong on offense. Like, I got that part.
I need a brilliant defensive guy.
I need a partner. I need a partner. And he wasn't afraid to go get Brian Flores to be his partner. So if you are looking, if you're looking for it, that's where I would say you found it when comparing Eberflus to the rest of the division.
Well, Luke Getsy feels like a whiff. Luke Getsy feels like a swing and a miss.
I mean, you don't have to even talk about Luke Getsy.
Okay.
You had to fire coordinators.
Alan Williams fired.
Yes.
Luke Getsy fired and moved on. I think Eric Washington seems to be a pretty damn good hire.
Yep.
I'm feeling really good about Eric Washington, the way he communicates, the way he teaches, the improvement we're already seeing on the defensive line, which was supposed to be his calling card, and we're seeing some of that right here. Shane Waldron?
Question mark.
Looked really bad after a couple weeks,
yeah,
man.
But that, see, to me, that's a check mark in Eberflus's favor, is he was a, this goes back to the concept of him listening to the guys in the locker room.
I thoroughly agree, and I voiced that as I was talking to this league source today. Like, what has gone on over the last month? As Jason Leisure did a nice job of crediting Eberflus for, the players went to Eberflus first,
right?
And Eberflus said, "All right, we got an issue here. Let's go to Shane." Or you guys go to Shane.
Let's go back through the chain of command.
Guys
go to your coordinator. And if you don't get satisfaction from talking to your coordinator, come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll deal with it. And so the players are like, you're right. They went to him and things got fixed. I think that reeks of, and I mean this in a positive way, that reeks of there being a level of accountability and trust there that he has been able to foster with his locker room.
I thoroughly agree. I thoroughly agree. So I think we hit on some of the nuance, which doesn't have room or place sometimes in the conversation. But Ken, it's okay if he's fourth in a damn good division right now.
100%. It's okay for that to be the case. But I feel you though. Like, there, what your source told you about this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people around the NFL feel similarly about that Dan Quinn has the ability to be like the next like great head coach in the league.
And he already took a team to a Super Bowl once.
So
as a defensive coordinator, excuse me.
Completely get.
Oh, wait, no, he did it as a head coach too, right? Because Atlanta, he was up 28-3 on Brady.
Then things broke bad.
Yeah, they certainly did. But he did bring that team to a Super Bowl.
On another head coach. There's another head coach that was involved in that. Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't LaFleur on that staff, too?
Yeah. Wait.
Check that offensive staff.
Yeah, we'll have to check that.
I feel like LaFleur might have been on there as well. That was Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator for Matt Ryan and the 28-3 lead-blowing Atlanta Falcons. Dan Quinn as the head coach. You can check on that. A texter reminds us, and he is correct, that Dan Campbell picked Anthony Lynn as his offensive coordinator, and they went 3-13-1, and he fired Anthony Lynn. So, and before he moved on to Ben Johnson,
LaFleur quarterbacks coach for the 15-16 Falcons.
So he was. Matt LaFleur was quarterbacks coach, and Kyle Shanahan offensive coordinator for that team as the defensive minded head coach blew the 28-3 lead.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
Yeah, it's rough.
Didn't go well.
Out in these streets.
By the way, we were talking about Shane's bread. Shane, are you making bread for humans and people out there that is available for purchase?
I'm a human.
Yeah, I am doing that. I tried one time before and I had a lot of shipping problems. So if you're part of that
shipping,
yeah. If you're part of that crew that didn't get bread, let me know. But I'm doing pickup now. It'll be pickup probably here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's all, so how can they find you? Where do they go?
Instagram or Twitter. Shane's Meat on Instagram, Shane_Reardon on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah, pay that man his money.
Yeah, support that man and get some unbelievably great bread.
Yep, just got to pick it up.
Focaccia. Ah, see? Working on it.
Yeah, Shane has the most. I've talked about this before. It's the most unique profile of any executive producer in talk radio history. I mean, the man is a unbelievably great chef with elevated tastes, and he can book people. Of course,
well,
and
speaking
he's
of
right
that,
there.
He Very should kind. Be. He should be focusing his efforts on getting us someone from the 2016 Falcons to talk about all these great coaches, and that, of course, would be national scout Phil Emery. That's the key to the success.
I somewhere in my phone have a picture of me and Phil Emery in Bourbonnais.
Is he still with Atlanta?
He just retired.
He just retired. He just retired.
That opens Phil Emery up to us. Efforting Phil Emery.
Put it in the Slack. He played another. He referenced another Kerry newcomer track when he retired.
It was a roller
Atlanta.
Coaster season, but they had Mike McDaniel also on staff and Chris Morgan, SEMO.
Oh, right. So our guy, yeah. SEMO.
That's strong.
Man,
it's a strong staff.
That's unbelievable. They had Mike McDaniel. They had three head coaches on. They have four head coaches with Quinn now having a job again.
I mean,
that's top notch stuff.
I mean, look at all the producers that have produced you.
It's true.
Look at that tree. Strong tree.
Yeah. Tree big, strong. Strong, big tree.
Sequoia.
Mighty one.
It's
in
a
fact.
Mighty sequoia.
Gotta go, man. Gotta go to the sequoias. I've never been to the sequoias. I want to go to that national park.
Well, yeah.
Very bad.
I guess my intramural team was called the Pine Bluff Bumpkins, and I've never been to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So
your intramural flag football team?
Yeah, we were the Pine Bluff Bumpkins.
I didn't know you had one. This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
The Pine Bluff
Bumpkins.
Okay, not the Blumpkins. The Bumpkins.
Team full of freshmen, and we made it to the championship game.
Oh, see? Look at that.
And then a Lenti stole it from us.
Oh, how dare they? This is amazing. Now, we're going to go out for drinks and just talk about intramural flag football. Or we could do it on the air.
I was really good, man. So,
telling me. I was also really good.
I played quarterback, though.
Oh, well, I was nose tackle. And I was...
and the snapper.
And I,
lock
snapper. Excuse me. Center.
Sorry.
Center, nose tackle, play caller.
And snapper, Jones.
GM, heart and soul.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
I like that. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about baseball, sons, and fathers.
And basketball, too.
Kind of. Next on The Score.